Good morning. Desire sincere interest in your prayers today. Earlier on in the meeting, heard some comments in reference to men. I've heard this several times. I believe there's been a real burden expressed in the young people's meeting. For the young men, I trust that the Lord will be able to take my feeble efforts today and communicate them to your heart and be able to convey the burden that I have today. It's my sincere desire to be assistance, if I possibly can, in this mortal life to others. I have a very strong passion for helping young men to become real adult men. In Proverbs, the 31st chapter, we find a very common verse here that tells us, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And that indicates that virtue in a woman is of exceptional value. I want to tell you, in the fear of the Lord, that virtue in a man, in real manhood, is of exceptional value, particularly in our society today. Particularly in the world we live in today. And I trust when we're finished today that you won't have to give a disclaimer like we hear on the radio sometimes when they air maybe an interview with someone. You ever notice at the end they'll say something like, "The views that are expressed are not necessarily those of the staff and the management." And I trust that you'll be able to say amen. And this is not just a brothers' meeting. And the reason I say that is because I recognize that in the world we live in, that even in our midst today, we have homes with absent fathers. And someone has made a comment in my presence before that of the effect that it takes a strong man to raise boys. Well, I'll put it this way. If that is the only thing that we're going to accept as a parameter to produce strong men in the future, we're in trouble. Because there's not enough strong fathers, there's not enough real men to train the next generation. So I want to try to look into some of the things that was handed to me as a young man growing up and something I'm endeavoring to instill in my children. And just as a point of information, I'm constantly reminded of the background that my father had, and I'm amazed at the ability he had in instilling some things that I feel very strongly about. It's things that motivate me, that make me who I am. My father came from a broken home. His father disappeared before he was born. I seen my grandfather two times that I know of. So I want to tell you that if the Lord can help my father get a hold of it for himself and be able to instill values in his sons, because I believe my brother has some of the very same things that I have, then I believe he can help the brokenness that we have in our world today. All right? In 1 John, the second chapter, we notice a verse that says this: I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, young men, because you're strong. Did you know that every young man, old man, middle-aged man in this in our presence today wants to be looked on as strong? Yes. Every one of us. Yes. To call them puny is a major offense. All right? Yes. It's a major attack on their personal identity. God designed it to be that way. God designed it to be that way. Men always want to be identified with strength. I'd like for us to look over in Genesis, the first chapter, the 28th verse, and it says this: And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Subdue it. Did you know that there's a real element of a desire to conquer in men? It's not an option, it's standard equipment. That's the way you get them. There's a desire to conquer and to subdue something that's in their path. And there's a natural desire to have strength. Where we have a problem is when those desire to subdue and the strength is misdirected. And we have a real problem in our world today with that. Misdirected desire for conquering and misdirected strength. It's not being productive in the right way. When you think about us in the future, remember my wife in particular, because this element of emerging manhood is kind of overpowering in our home sometimes. And sometime back, it's been a couple, 3 years ago, there was an issue of a squabbling over who got to sit by Dad at the meal table and who got to sit in a certain seat in the vehicle when we were going somewhere. So my wife come up with the idea of designating who was going to be king for the day. And that's who got to sit in the most predominant place. And it did help. It did resolve contention. I told someone not too long back, I feel like I have 4 boxes of dynamite in my hands. If you have sons, you have the same thing. Dynamite is not just to make a big bang. And it's not just to see a flash and feel the power. Dynamite has very useful applications in our world. And if it is properly used, properly placed, if it is used with someone that is skilled in that, it can be very, very beneficial. Someone that knows how to use dynamite, it's amazing what they can do. And blasting holes and making ways for roadways or maybe a basement or a building of some kind. And men have that same potential. I want you to understand, we're dealing with something that's powerful here. And it behooves us to know how to direct it with the help of the Lord. Our society in the last several generations has attacked the element of manhood. All you have to do is pick up the local paper and look at the comic strips. A lot of times men are displayed as either stupid, incapable, or lazy. And any time, in any situation, that we tear someone else down to make room for ourselves, that's not a good method. But I want to tell you that men have been suffered injury, and sometimes it's because they let it happen, but they've suffered injury to make space for someone else. And too many have dropped the ball. Too many have decided it wasn't worth the effort. Too many have allowed the ball to be turned over to the opposing forces. In Proverbs 22:6, real common scripture to us all here, I'm sure. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. I believe that's what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's easier said than done. It's a lot easier said than done. And I want you to know that I'm not trying to elevate myself to any place that is above someone else's capabilities. I recognize that I have made more than my fair share of failures. And if my father was here tonight, he would say the same thing. In fact, one of his greatest remorses in life was that he didn't do a better job. That was some of the things he told me later on. The most ideal, we've already kind of touched on this, the most ideal place for young men to be trained, and I want you to know here that this is not just directed to the little guys. If you recognize in yourself today elements that was missing from the past, values that were not instilled, I want you to know that the Lord has helped. Remember what I told you about my father? The Lord gave him some things, I believe, helped him get a hold of some things that he was able to pass on, not because he had an example before him, but because the Lord helped him. And if you're here today and you don't fit in the category of being molded and shaped, you can be helped too. The Lord can help you. But there's going to be some application, and it gets pretty intense, and we're going to get to that here in just a little bit. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, I won't read this maybe, but if you read Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and I believe about the first 9 verses, the setting here is this. The law has been given, and now there's an instruction to take this to your house and teach it consistently, day in, day out. Make it an application of everyday life so your children will know what's going on. And it takes a daily application, perseverance, and focus to train anything. And when you got dynamite on your hands, you don't carelessly, you don't throw the box of dynamite in the corner and use it for an extra seat. Alright? You probably got a sign on the box, and you may have it in a special room somewheres. Don't go in there. Don't be throwing darts in there. Don't be using hammers in that room. Stay away from it. We'll use it in the proper place at the proper time. I don't want anybody to get hurt. Alright? For men to be able to handle the God-given ability for strength and desire to overcome, to dominate, to subdue. For that to be able to be working in its proper perspective, men have to have responsibility to handle that authority. But one of the things that I want us to dwell on with the help of the Lord is responsibility. How do you teach someone to have responsibility? I believe that it's learned by being required to perform to someone else's expectations. It's not being required to just do what feels good to me. It's by being required and obligated to perform to someone else's responsibilities. Where's that learned? At home. It's best learned from the father. But we got mothers here, and father's not there. Maybe there's a grandmother, and the parents, neither one are there. Maybe you're the father in the home, and no one ever ground this into you, because it takes some real effort. It takes something, an element here that you can't back up on. You got to hold their feet to the fire. I'll ask you a question. You ever punish your son for not doing his job right? I have. You ever make them finish before they can eat? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about being mean to your children. I'm not talking about that at all. When there's been an obligation, a responsibility given out, you got to hold their feet to the fire. They got to see it through, all the way. It's hard on grandparents. And it's hard on mamas sometimes. It can be real hard on someone that didn't see what got started. I've had to deal with that. Don't honey child them while they're in their process. Don't hand them candy bars while they're working. Do that after they're done. After they're done. The reward comes after the job's completed. The reward, the commendation comes after the expectation has been fulfilled. I have a little rule around my house. If there's jobs that have to be done on a regular basis, cutting the grass, picking up rocks. We have lots of rocks where we live now. Doing other chores. They don't get paid. They get to sleep in my house. They get to eat my food. They get to hear me say, "I love you. You've done a good job. I like what you've done. I appreciate your initiative." And sometimes when there's a one-time project, we consider giving them a little monetary reward. Building fence, things like that. Don't wait till they're a teenager to start this. Don't wait. All of them are different. Somewhere before they have two numbers in their age is a good place to start. It's a good place to start. I want to challenge you with this. Set your expectations high enough that somebody else would approve. Not grandma. And not grandpa. Set your expectations high enough to where when the neighbors drive by and see, they like it too. And don't let them, don't back up. Don't back up on it. We can't do that. Dear ones, I'm talking about teaching someone how to... People don't just get responsibility without having a little difficulties. Responsibility comes from meeting someone else's expectations, not my own. Because sometimes I can change my expectations when I realize what's involved. I can change what I thought I wanted after I see what it's going to take to get it. But we can't allow them to do that. They won't learn responsibility. Set your goals high enough that when you tell somebody else, you're not afraid for them to inspect it. That's what you have to do. Don't forget to compliment them on the job well done. That's just as important as holding them to the job. That's just as important. I know this is kind of, you may go away and say that's just his philosophy. I know some have seen the list I've left when I had to go to work and they was home. My sons were home. And they said, I felt sorry for them. There's no way that they could get that done. They wasn't supposed to get it all done. They're supposed to be busy all day. That's the whole deal. That you were supposed to keep them hooked up. How do you want to teach them responsibility? You got to show them there's a bigger picture here than maybe just entertainment. Oh, I hope you don't feel like I'm being too harsh. Because I feel like I have some evidence that I'm not. I'm gonna tell this. Bear with me. I'm not trying to impress you necessarily, but I want to point out that producing a strong man and training them and making requirements out of them and pushing them to their limits, I'll say this before I tell you what I was going to say. It's good to push them to the point of exhaustion. Occasionally, not every day, but occasionally, it's good to push them to where they can barely stay awake long enough to clean up to go to bed. That's good. That's good. You want to know how to train? You want somebody that'll be strong for the Lord? You're going to have to push them to exhaustion somewheres. You're going to have to know what their limits are. You're going to have to find out what it takes to wear them down. What do we talk about? We've got a box of dynamite here. A lot of power involved. And we have a great responsibility to know how to guide that and train that. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This past school year, one of my sons that's not in grade school had to have an assignment. He had to write a poem about his hero. You know who it was? It was me. But I'm the one that has pushed him to the point that he was give out. That I've told him, you have to have this done before you can have supper. Now, this doesn't happen every day. I want you to understand the perspective here. But I've pushed him. Another thing you have to do is listen. Listen to their dreams. Give them a little bit of guidance. Maybe tell them that's a little far-fetched. But let them talk anyway. You got to teach them how to be focused. on the finished product. Look at the bigger picture than what's right in front of their face. It's not about bleeding, and it's not about hurting, and it's not about dirty things, but that's part of it. I remember one time, very vividly, I was small enough, I don't know how old I was, but I was small enough that it was a struggle for me to hold up probably about a 2 or 3 pound hammer. So I was pretty small. I went with my father to change some work on a combine. I was getting ready for harvest. And he was changing some sections in the sickle. I don't know if they were dull or broken, but he was chiseling those rivets off by hand and then riveting new sections in. And it was a struggle. My job was to hold that hammer up on the bottom of that sickle so he could pound, tighten that rivet up. Y'all know what I'm talking about, a cold rivet like that. And I was over there holding that up to keep him from bending the sickle. And my father was using the hammer and the chisel, and I don't remember what happened, but he made a big old injury on his hand. I cut his finger or his knuckle. Maybe he hit himself with the hammer, but I would have been howling. Little guy. It would have hurt. I know it hurt him. Kind of slung his hand like that, get the blood off, and here we go again. Oh, I'm telling you. When I went to school and I heard little boys say, "My daddy can beat up your daddy," I thought, "No, you can't. No, you can't." But you know, it wasn't about bleeding right then. We was doing this to get ready for the harvest. See, that was the big picture. It's more than this little tough spot I'm going through right now. It's what's out there in front. What's my objective here? When you make your boy mow the grass, and I certainly hope you do. It's been kind of, we got lots of evidence of what the boys do around my place. There's at least 2 holes in the siding. We replaced 1 window in the house and 2 windows in the van. There's a mended post on the barn, and there's a hole in the sheet metal. But I'm not going to give up. And when you come and drive by my house, I want it to look like an adult mowed the lawn. All right? That's the expectation. If they didn't get the job done, go finish it. The big picture is so when the neighbors drive by, it looks like people that care live there. Don't leave your stuff laying out in the yard. I'm not talking about just maybe laying your bicycle down. I'm talking about those other things that should have been picked up and maybe thrown in the trash. Don't just let it scatter around. Pick it up. Make it look like somebody that cares lives here. Well, help them. You're going to have to say, "Look, I know you're hot, but you can come in and get a drink and all of that, but you can't sit down for a rest. Get back out there and get the job done. You can rest when it's all over. Let's don't take all day to get the job done." Remember one time, you know, I'll say this right here. You sisters, there's something in you that really wants a knight in shining armor. You really want a strong man. You really want someone that can take care of you and have be focused and stay connected. You really want that. I know you do. Remember one time hadn't been married too long. It was cold, wintertime. The washing machine didn't work. Drain was stopped up. It'd been raining, it was wet, and it was cold. And the crawl space for the house was right on the ground. And the house we lived in at that time when it rained a lot, there was water that would get underneath the house. And I knew the only way I was going to be able to fix it was to get under the house. And here I was, maybe freezing. It's pretty close to it if it wasn't. I had to put my coveralls on and go outside, crawl under the house, lay in water, and fix whatever the problem was. And when I crawled out, wet coveralls, freezing temperature, I wasn't even looking forward to it. I want to tell you, it's bigger than that. See, I wanted my wife to be comfortable. I wanted her to be able to do her part. So what did I do? I got it done. Got the job done. You know, I'm not worried about someone else coming in and impressing her, because I'm trying real hard. All right? You need to, too. If you're the husband and you're faced with situations like that and you draw back and say, "We're going to have to wait till it dries up, honey. I can't get under there. There's 6 inches of water under the house. I might cut my finger." It's going to be pretty easy for someone else to impress her. It's going to be pretty easy. You're going to have to look. What's the objective here? What should I be focused on? Don't allow young men or old men, don't quit because of a scratch or a little bruise. There's injuries that cause you to quit. I've worked with people that impressed me. Remember one time working with some other young men, and a fella had an accident, thought he broke his finger, and taped it up. You know, duct tape works pretty good on hands. Band-aids don't stay on very good when you're working. You can put a Band-Aid on and some duct tape and go back at it. You really can. We use an expression around the house, it's too far from your heart to kill you. It's too far from your heart to kill you. You're not bleeding that bad. I hope you don't feel like I'm distorted right there. You want a strong man? You want one that'll be able to face the world? You're going to have to start somewheres. He's not going to get it rubbing shoulders with other people that don't have any perseverance. You're going to have to push them. Go get it done. Dig the splinter out. And now, go back and get it done. You get a splinter in your finger, pull it out. Now go back and get your job. It's not time to sit down and read a book. It's not. Go back and get your work done. The application sometimes causes those that are maybe a little more timid. Maybe it causes the mothers or grandparents to draw back a little bit. But somebody, if daddy's not there and daddy doesn't have these kind of values in them, somebody's going to have to. If they don't, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Somebody is going to have to push past this, "Oh, I know he's hurting." You're going to have to push past that. You do want him to provide for his own. That's your grandchildren, by the way. You want him to provide for your own, for his own, don't you? Over in 1 Samuel 4 and 9, notice the verse here. "Be strong." It's talking, the Philistines are encouraging one another before they went and fought the Israelites here. "Be strong. Quit yourselves like men." That doesn't mean just until it gets a little difficult or until somebody bangs you upside the head a little bit. It means The objective is to conquer, subdue. Quit ye like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants to the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. We have to train young men, old men. We have to see the value and put our heart into it. We got to realize that we don't want to be the servants of something else out there. I don't want to be the servants of sin, of degradation. I don't want my wife to, or my daughters, or someone else in the congregation to say, they're kind of puny. I don't want them to say that about me. I want others to think I'm strong. And not, more than that, I want to have that strength inside. When I face the enemy, that I'll be able to resist and not be pushed over. It has to be instilled. I want to say this, that men must be willing to prove and to test what they do. Years ago, first started working at an automotive shop. First few times I rebuilt an automatic transmission, I would put the fluid in it, start it up, and it was in park. I'd start it up and I'd check the fluid to make sure that it was full of fluid, and then I'd go wash my hands up and have a word of prayer. I wanted it to work when I put it in gear. But I couldn't just fill it up with fluid and tell the guy it's ready to go. There's a test drive that has to be taken. And the first time that you do something like that, you're probably pretty conservative, you know, on the accelerator when you're taking off. I'm going to tell you, before you give it back, you better hold it to the floor. You better make sure that it does everything it's supposed to do, because when they get it back, they probably will. They're going to do it. If I can't break it, they can't either. Test your work. Prove it. Make sure it's right. Make sure it fits after you cut it. Temporally, spiritually, emotionally, make sure what you're doing is going to get the end result. Try it. Sometimes we can't test drive things, so to speak. Sometimes we have to struggle. Ask the Lord, Lord, am I doing the right thing? I'm not wanting to just shoot from the hip and just hope it's right. I want to think about this. You know, if I tell somebody this, what's their reaction going to be? You see where we can start using these tools? I trust you can. You got to be willing to learn how to anticipate the end result of what I'm fixing to do. Might make the decision to take a weekend hunting trip, and I'm married and I have a family. It's going to make some impact. Right? It's going to make some impact. I'm going to have to remember that there's going to be some folks that's left at home. And be careful about telling them, y'all stay home and don't spend any money. All right? There's a reaction. There's an impact of the decisions I make. I got to anticipate the end result. How's your wife going to feel? Maybe you have daughters at home. Your wife and your daughters going to feel that you've spent a lot of money on gasoline going to someplace for a weekend hunt or a week-long hunt, and they're back there scraping to support that or let you afford it? There's an impact. Learn to anticipate the impact of the decisions you make. That's part of being a man. That's part of taking responsibility. Boys need to learn to feel the weight of a bad decision. The pocketbook is a good place to start. They want transportation? My rules, make them pay for it. Make them pay for it. They're going to have to someday. Make them pay for it. If they burn all the rubber off their tires, make them buy new tires. If they tear something up, make them pay for fixing it. They got to feel the weight of bad decisions. Or make them learn how to fix it themselves. That's what I had to do. Make them pay for their insurance. Don't just all circulate around money. What I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty common medium of exchange in our world today. And they're going to have to learn how to deal with it someday. Better start them out on the right foot. Make them pay. Make them pay. They learn how to obey the laws of the land better that way. Kiss them. Did you hear me? Kiss your boys. You fathers, some of the most extensive wrestling matches we've got is in my house is me trying to give them a kiss. But that's all right. Hug them. Don't caress them and don't pet them. Hug them. Hug them. Make them feel your strength. I'm passing something on to you. Tell them that you approve of their good decisions and their good behavior. I'm going to read you a scripture. Over in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and the 17th verse. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That was God talking to His Son, wasn't it? But what do you think had just... What do you think was ahead of Jesus? Do you ever give your boys impossible situations? Don't be afraid to stack it on them. Give them a little training and stack it on them. You got to teach them. They got to learn. You know what was hinging on God's Son? The thing that we hold so valuable today. Salvation. If God... And I want to tell you that I really believe what we're talking about today is godly principles. I believe that. I hope you don't stand up and say the staff and the management don't approve of this. I want to tell you, I believe God instills some real strengths. I believe there's some real strengths that was conveyed to His Son of what He was facing. Because the salvation of men's souls of the world was hinging on this thing. He learned obedience. Here He was, coming down to earth, and the whole plan of salvation was hinging on Him. And God wasn't there right by His side saying, "Don't do that. Not over here. Be careful." He wasn't doing that. Jesus had some room to make some decisions on His own. When He was tempted, He had room to make a decision there, didn't He? He did. But don't be afraid to tell your son, "I'm real pleased with the decisions you made. What you done today made me real happy. I'm glad you're my boy." You tell him that. That's what God did. There's a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It's okay to say that in front of other people too. I want to read you some man scriptures. Over here in Proverbs, first chapter, 10th verse. It says, My son, I believe we can apply this to the whole congregation, but this morning I want to apply it to men. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I like that. I like that. I like the way it's worded. I like the force that's behind it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How do you get that kind of strength? How do you get that kind of ability to subdue the opportunities that's presented to you? You're going to have to be willing to learn some of those other things we was talking about. To learn how to be responsible. And how to keep focus on what it's all about, really. It's not just about this little scratch I got. It's about the wheat harvest. Or it's about making the washing machine work again. It's about getting the yard mowed so the neighbors don't tell people, you ought to see their yard. It's a mess. I like for the neighbors to say, you've really made an improvement on that place since you moved there. That's what I want them to hear. I want to hear from them. Psalms, 15th Psalm. Starting in the first verse. Common passage of Scripture here. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart, backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. Another verse in Psalms 19 and 14, I believe, says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord help us to have this kind of strength of character. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. That means I'm determined not to have any association with evil. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. I'm not talking about bad mouthing somebody that's a sinner. I'm talking about, it says, it's contemned, the activities are something you're determined not to be part of. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. There's an element here that we've been trying to talk about. Swearing to your own hurt and change it. This is something different than just being hard-headed and obnoxious. This is an element of strength, of character, focused in the right direction. The dynamite that's put in the right place. That's able to accomplish the intent that it was designed to do. Swear to your own hurt and change not. You ever do that? It don't feel real good. Promise you'll do something for someone and then find out that you're going to do it all by yourself. No one's going to help you. Or find out when it's done that they didn't really approve. They didn't really like what you did. They'd rather you didn't. Be kind of discouraging, isn't it? Swear to your own hurt and change not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. I like that thought, don't you? Never be moved. That's that part that I want to be recognized. I want them to feel that I'm strong. Give me a little time. I'm not trying to just promote strength in mankind, just in yourself as a human. Altogether. Unwilling to take advantage. It says here, nor taketh reward against the innocent. Brother John told us last night about people that was somehow trying to work the system, take advantage of an opportunity dishonestly. I'm talking about to you about men that learn values that they're unwilling to stoop to underhanded methods. Unwilling to do that. I'll tell you a very brief story on that element. I know a man that was telling me about someone he knew. He's in the used car business. He went and picked up cars in South Texas a few times. Guy coming to his place of business, had bought a car from him. Come in there and he says, "I have a car in South Texas." He said, "I'd like you to pick up and bring it back." He said, "I'll pay you $400. The guy said, "I'll do that." So the next time he was down there, he drove this man's car back. And the fella come to pay him. He handed him $5,000. It went on for a little while. Yeah, that's pretty good money, isn't it, for driving a car back from South Texas. Went on a little while and said, "I have another car for you to drive back." You know what he should have done? Said no. But he did. He agreed to drive it back for $400. When he got back, the man came and paid him $10,000, driving that car back. You know what happened the third time? And black and white cars stopped him. You know what he was hauling? He wasn't just delivering a car. You know, the Lord gives you a mind. Use it. You was doing more than delivering a car if somebody gave you $5,000 to drive a car from South Texas. Use your head. Don't stoop to that. Don't stoop to, "Oh, my, that's good money. I can't pass that up." Be careful. Real men won't do that. All right? Scripture I really like in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, starting about the 20th verse. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." I trust you'll be able to get something from our thought today that will help you. If you feel like there's been a big void in your life, I believe the Lord can help you restore that and gain the responsibility and that focus on the real picture, what's really the issue at hand. It says here, "For they are life unto thee, those that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, one that's habitually disposed to disobedience," just contention and problems. Put it away from you. "Perverse lips, put far from thee." Now here comes these attributes that's going to start coming into display. You've been having some training, and you've been having someone tell you you can't quit until the job done, and here's this element's going to start coming, kicking in right here. "Let your eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the..." That takes strength. That takes strength. There's many, many pressures. Over in the New Testament, the verse says there's winds of doctrine. There's influences out there that want to push you off center. May the Lord help us here not to turn to the right or turn to the left. "Remove thy foot from evil." There's real strength. There has to be real strength to follow through with the advice and the admonition in those verses, dear ones. I know that we've really talked about a lot of temporal things and maybe everyday things, literal activities this morning. I wanted you to get a picture in your mind of an individual that's had training, that's had an objective in their life. "Lord, I see the values, and I want that. I'm willing to bleed a little bit if it takes it. I'm willing to accept responsibility, and I'm willing to follow somebody else's expectations. I want to meet their approval." I hope you can see a picture of strength of character coming through those things. I trust you can today. And then take that and put it in the hands of the Lord. I hope you can visualize that in your mind. When a young man that's had this kind of characteristics instilled in them from parents and mothers that even maybe have to go back in the house and cry while they're out there suffering in the heat to get the job done or in the cold or whatever it is. But I know I got to do it for their sake. And when that young man realizes that he has to have God in his life, that it's not complete without Him, and he yields that kind of thing to the Lord, now what do you got on your hands? Now what do you got on your hands? A man of God. Someone that can safeguard his home from the influences of the enemy. Someone that's willing to not turn to the right or to the left. And when there's instability around them, they're able to discern the good from the evil. When that type of individual is yielded to the Lord. You want a strong man? You want the next generation to have strength of character? It's going to take more than patting, and it's going to take more than just nudging. You're going to have to teach them how to have some perseverance. You're going to have to. I'd like to read one more verse, one more passage of Scripture in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Some people feel like the main verse in this passage of Scripture is, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And I really believe that's one of the easier ones to put in application. I believe it is. Considering everything else is in place. Because just like there's an element in a man to want strength, to want to subdue, there's an element that's instilled in women that wants to look up to their husband. There is. There really is. You know, if you'll do your part, she'll find it easy to do her part. She will. Notice here in the 25th verse, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." You realize the magnitude of that? That He might sanctify and cleanse it, set it apart, with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that He should be holy, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Love your wife as your own body. That's going to take you putting her pleasure, her satisfaction above your own fulfillment. That's going to take some real perseverance and keeping the end result in mind. You're going to have to. Otherwise, you're going to be thinking, what about me? What about me? Why don't I get to do something enjoyable once in a while? All I do is go to work. All I do is fix things and take care of disasters and all of that. You're going to have to look at the big picture. You know, it's easy sometimes to start feeling sorry for yourself. I want to tell you that I've had some of the things I've talked about here today, I've had to grapple with just recently. I've had to grapple with my desire to be strong. But see, I want somebody else to catch it. I want somebody else to stand beside me. I want somebody else. Otherwise, sometimes you get to the point of, what's the use? Nobody else sees it. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. Try putting her first. try doing everything to try to make her completely satisfied for a year or two. And see what happens. Just forget about anything that you feel like that would be enjoyable from your perspective and put her first for a year or two. Remodel the kitchen or whatever it takes. And see what happens. I'm going to tell you what will happen. She'll say, "Honey, I think it's time that we've done something you enjoyed." She'll find it easy to submit to you. She will. Don't put a load on her. Take care of it yourself. It says, 29th verse says, "For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." I like to feel good. I don't like smashing my fingers. I don't like having bruises and bumps. It's part of life's lot. It's part of it. But I want my family to be happy. I want them to be confident in being able to face life. I want them to be that way. I know there may be other drawbacks to following some of the things we've talked about today. And I'm going to tell you one of them. It's a little bit humorous. I've had a little issue in my house the last year or so. All the neighbors want to hire my boys. That's a good problem to have. That's a good problem to have. And I said that in all sincerity, and you're going to have to, I'm going to trust you to accept me for what I'm saying is true. I don't want to lift up myself in any manner. But I want you to realize that we have to have a focus, an objective. We have to be willing, not only willing, but determined to implement some training, some requirements. Don't let them choose their own expectations. Don't let them do that. Don't let yourself, if you're the adult, don't let yourself, if you're, in that time between, well, I'm not really a boy at home anymore, I'm not married and don't have my home of my own, I'm kind of in that in between. Don't let yourself just set your own expectations. Allow someone else to put some expectations. I'm depending on you. I need you to help me. Can I give you this job? And then somebody may come along and say, "You got to do this for me." And don't draw back and say, "I can't do that. I don't know nothing about that." Figure it out. Figure it out. You might learn something. You might learn something. And you know what? Others will begin to look up to you. And you'll start getting what you really want anyway. Somebody to recognize you as having strength. May the Lord help us. You pray for me.